Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business. So should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
What are we going to do? About the elephant in the room within the Broncos organization right now. The Broncos have a 6'5", 300-pound problem. And instead of saying that they're caught between a rock and a hard place, going in the break, I said they are stuck between a box of rocks and a hard place. And I'm talking about Garrett Bowles. You've been around the game of football your whole life, Soak. You played in high school, you played in college, you played 15 years in the league, and now you cover the league. Have you ever seen a player have four holding calls in one game and many, including Mark Schlereth, say that he had a fifth holding call that they got the number wrong, and that's what it looked like on camera?
It did look that way. No, I can't recall that. Especially, you know, a guy that we have talked a lot about with the issues that he has had with holding calls. Led the league the last 2 years. And to see that type of performance and at home, and to see just the fans' reaction and the boos. I mean, usually that's not reserved for a left tackle. Usually that's quarterback.
Right.
Wide receiver dropping the ball. But not a left tackle. I can't ever recall that type of situation. You're playing at home and you're having an awful performance like that at left tackle, and you're getting booed by your home fans. No, I can't compare that to any performance that I remember, and just watching that and just being like, oh my gosh, this thing is getting really, really bad. Really bad. And every time they would throw a flag, you're waiting for it to be holding 72.
I'm holding my breath.
Right. I'm like, please don't be Garrett Bowles. Please don't be Bowles. Holding 72. I'm like, oh my goodness. And the problem, here's the big problem. And I want to get your thoughts on it. But here's the big problem for me. Look, we've talked a lot about Bowles. And my issue with Garrett Bowles is he just doesn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
He makes excuses.
Yes.
And he says, well, I'm a physical football player and I'm not going to change the way I play, and they're out to get me. And it's like, Garrett, no, they're not out to get you. And you know his coaches, not only Munchak, and they got Chris Cooper this year, but the coaches previously have told him you can't do these types of things, and he doesn't listen to them. Look what Vic Fangio said today about Garrett Bowles, and this sums it up to me. We have to do a better job of explaining it to him. Which, you know, they've already explained it to him. It's not that difficult.
Of course.
And he's got to do a better job of listening. He doesn't listen.
He doesn't
understand it. It's like that kid that's always making excuses for getting in trouble. It's you, Garrett. It's you. And I promise you, NFL refs aren't coming in the game trying to pick on Garrett Bowles.
No. They don't have an
trying
agenda
to call
against Bowles.
Holding
no.
calls. That's what he thinks.
Right.
It's like they're out to get me.
Yeah.
He doesn't understand when he wraps his arms around guys that and throws him to the ground, that's holding. Like, how can you not understand that? And that's the root of the problem right there. So if you can't admit you're doing something wrong and look at it and say, okay, I have to correct that mistake, and come out and say, you know what, I got to do a better job with my technique. I can't have my hands out wide. That's the first step. And if you can't do that, then guess what? You got no chance to fix it, because he doesn't think he's making mistakes. He thinks he's getting screwed by the refs in the NFL. So that's the root of the problem, and first and foremost, you have to get them to realize that, Garrett, you're the one that's making these mistakes. These are penalties. This is a holding call, and I would put him in a room for an hour, and I'd just go over holding calls, holding, holding, holding. This isn't holding, and just show videos. You can't do this. But you have to understand, as an offensive lineman, what's holding and what's not holding, and he doesn't get it.
You and I have been doing this show, Stokely and Zach, for more than 2.5 years. Okay, it's closer to 3 years now than it is two.
I'm going gray and I'm losing my hair.
We have done probably, I don't know, I'd put it at 600-700 shows together by now. I have never, and I want you to hold me accountable here, I have never came into the studio and insulted a player by using names or that type of verbiage because of poor play. We'll talk about it. We'll highlight it. I'll say the play is awful, but I have never gotten personal with a player by using insults. But I said the Broncos are caught between a box of rocks and a hard place. It is. I said that not because Garrett Bowles had five holding penalties yesterday. I said it because he doesn't think he did. He thinks people are out to get him. And furthermore, he thinks he's doing a phenomenal job. He said that. I'm reading this off Zach Stevens' Twitter from BSN. Quote, I think I've done a phenomenal job this year from last year, just being consistent. I think that's the thing. Last year, I would go one play and there would be another flag the next play. But I just feel like bad plays are going to happen. It is what it is. That's Garrett Bowles after yesterday's game. I think I've done a phenomenal job. That's why I can fairly say Garrett Bowles is a box of rocks. Because he, I don't know what's up there, but he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. The names around him have changed in terms of people to the left and right of him, or to the right of him, rather. The coaches have changed, but the issues have not changed, and he is the only guy that is refusing to admit it. This takes stubborn to a new level. It's bizarre, but to say that after a game that you had five holding penalties, that the reputation that you have is undeserving, he said that yesterday after the game, that the referees are out to get him, he said that yesterday after the game, and that he's done a phenomenal job from this year to last year, he said that yesterday after the game.
It is what it is, too. I don't like that either. Look, just say you gotta get better. Can't let it happen. Can't get called for holding. I continue to work on my craft and get better. And it's gotta get better. I mean, that's the approach, but it's just, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it. And if he hadn't understood it and get it after his first couple years and then up to date, he never will. He just never will. You can't tell me the previous coaches that have coached him have taught him that grabbing people outside is okay and holding onto the jerseys and jumping on top of them and throwing them down is how you play offensive line. They haven't told him that.
Right.
But he still doesn't get it. He still looks at himself and says, they're out to get me. It's not me. It's them. They don't like me. No, it's you, Garrett. It's you. You're the one that's continually holding guys in. They are making the proper calls. He just doesn't get it. So I don't know, but you have no recourse. You have nobody else you can put in there. I don't see anybody out there that you can put in there.
It was 2 years ago. Isaiah McKenzie, after the fourth fumble, I said the responsibility gets transferred now away from Isaiah to whoever is empowering Isaiah. Are we at that point right now with Garrett Bowles, and what could be recourse? I want to take a dive into that conversation next.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.
So what can be done about the Garrett Bowles problem? And make no mistake, it is a huge 6'5", 300-pound problem. You said, I don't know what the Broncos' next course of action could be. Here's where I'm at. I really don't care. We have to try something. Because the guy that's playing right now is hurting the Broncos in such a way that a replacement who is below his ability and is not the player he is, I'm willing to make that gamble because this is how I'm viewing Garrett Holds holding calls. I'm viewing them as sacks. When you get a holding penalty on you, how far backfield do you move? 10 yards. With Garrett Bowles, because he is such a habitual holder, I am viewing those as sacks. Garrett Bowles gave up 5 sacks yesterday, 4 on the record. And each time he did give up a sack, quote unquote, I'm using air quotes, that was for a 10-yard loss. So is Jake Rogers or Austin Schlottman going to give up 4 sacks in a football game? I don't think so, but I'm still willing to try it out. And I'm not saying those guys playing left tackle. If you got to move Eli Wilkinson over to play left tackle and move Reisner to where he played at Kansas State at right tackle, and I don't care. We have to try something, because if you're saying the guy behind Bowles can't play, that's already where we're at with Bowles. So I'm willing to explore something new with a lesser player that maybe takes Mike Munchak's coaching and gives us a modest performance.
I can't give you any real pushback there. I know we've all seen enough of Garrett Bowles. And what it comes down to...
That's not true. That's not true, by the way. We have not, we all...
Who?
Vic Fangio and John Elway.
Well... We'll see how long it takes. I mean, we're only 2 games into the season also, right? We're 2 games in. So let's not forget about that. But I understand. Look, I mean, this is Vic's first year with Garrett Bowles. He hasn't lived through the trials and tribulations, which have been Garrett Bowles the last 2+ years.
Sounds like Nick Ferguson.
Right. They just haven't done it. We're like, Nick, no. You're 12-4, bro. You don't understand what you're getting into here. Right. You know, you backing up Bowles, this left, right. Look, I've been a big advocate of Garrett Bowles as far as, you know, hopefully he gets better and what we've seen from him. He just hasn't, and he doesn't get it. And that's ultimately what frustrates me the most, is if he would just stand up there and say, I got to get better. I'm going to work my tail off to get better. I cannot allow myself to keep making these mistakes. People would back him and be in his corner. But when you look and say, nope, not me. The referees are getting me out to get me. The NFL is out to get me. People are just like, dude, what is wrong with you? So in this situation, look, I can't give you any pushback on trying something else. Yeah, throw Elijah Wilkinson over there. Throw Reisner to right tackle. The only problem with throwing Reisner out there, he hasn't practiced it at all. So maybe try one of these other guys, Schlottman or and who's the other guy that we just brought up? I mean, if you want to try them at right tackle and put Wilkinson at left tackle, I really don't care. I don't want to do it right now, though. I really don't. I just think 2 games into the season, new offense, new scheme. We got the best ever offensive line. We got a great offensive line coach. We do. Sometimes I joke about it, but we got a great one in Mike Munchak. Let's just see if we can get this thing back going. I don't have, you know, much more patience, though, if we see anything that resembles what we saw yesterday. But at the same time, I'm okay. I'm not pushing that button yet, the Isaiah McKenzie button yet. I'm just, because we don't have a lot of other good, viable options. So for me, I'm saying, let me see it one more time. Let me see it one more time. I'm going to give you one more chance. I'm just too nice of a guy. I think I'm just too nice of a guy.
For me, I disagree with you. I think we've passed through the threshold. I think we've passed through the threshold. The responsibility from my standpoint has been transferred. We know who he is. We know who he is. We have years now of a sample size. Years.
But Vic hasn't. That's the issue. That's the only difference is Vic has it. Mike Munchak has it. Now, they know his history. So at the same time, but they're starting fresh with Garrett Bowles. So they've seen, you know, one really, really bad game. Then he had the one holding call against Oakland was all.
Yep.
And they saw really one really bad game from him.
It's the worst pass rush in football, by the way.
Huh?
The Raiders.
Yeah, but this one's not bad.
Okay.
Khalil Mack is that dude. And so is...
No, I'm talking about against the Raiders.
No, I know. He had one. Right.
Yeah.
But he only had one. That was 2 weeks ago, Zach. Come on. Khalil Mack is that dude. He's a great passer. These guys can get after the quarterback. You're not going up against, you know, bums out there. I mean, this guy can flat out get it done. And he made you look bad. He also, you know, we remember the one day where he had what? It seemed like he had 12 sacks. It was like 3 1/4 against us when
Khalil Mack.
Yeah,
that was against Schofield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's really, really good. Bowles was off. They're not going to pull the plug right now. They're just not, because you don't have many other viable options. this is Vic Fangio's first experience with him, Mike Munchak's first experience with him. When you don't have any other viable options, you're going to say, okay, well, we're going to continue to work with this guy. That's going to be their approach right now. Now, look, you can't continue to get these holding calls. Just like a receiver can't continue to drop the ball. I don't care if this is my first year with you or not.
Well, let's go off that example.
Okay.
What receiver could drop 5 footballs in the first 2 games and you'd be okay with them playing this coming week? 5 drop passes in the first 2 games. 6 drop passes in the first 2 games.
I thought he only had 4 yesterday.
He had 5. He's on the record for 4.
Oh.
But we know different. He had 5.
Oh.
But you could take one off. He only had 4. Most for any player since 2014. We can be kind and only give him 4.
You got me over here sticking up for Bowles after he played one of the worst games that we've ever seen from an offensive lineman. Like, in a short period of time, too. It wasn't like it was, you know, 1 1/4. This was like all seemed like...
He had a hat trick quarter?
Yes.
It's hard to do.
Right. It's almost impossible to do. I'm not going to sit here and stick up for him. I'm just telling you their approach right now. And when you don't have anybody else really back there ready to go, that you can say, okay, well, let's give this guy a chance. He might be, you know, he was our 4th-round pick this year, and we kind of like him. You don't really have that guy. So they're going to stick with Bowles for a little bit and see if he can improve and get better. And if he doesn't, I guarantee you the leash is really, really short. Then they'll start making these moves. And people say Reisner, you know, but we haven't moved Reisner at all. So I think Reisner's rookie year needs to stay at guard. He's doing a good job. Let's leave him at guard. Let's not screw him up like we did DeMarcus Walker a couple of years ago, outside linebacker, defensive end, you know, moving him all over the place. Leave Reisner at left guard. And then if you want to move Wilkinson over and try something else, but give him one more game. Give him one more game.
Really quick on the RamosLaw.com text line. Seriously, you won't read this text. But you guys are forbidden to criticize the big elephant in the room, and that's that John Elway drafted this guy. Pal, you haven't listened to this show.
Pal, dude.
You have not listened to this show. Because
you haven't listened to this show, dude.
This is not state-run media over here. We will challenge John when he deserves to be challenged, and Garrett Bowles is one of the largest swing-and-miss players on John Elway's resume, and the fact that they had their pick of the litter, and you had Ryan Ramczyk and Garrett Bowles, one's a bona fide bust, one's an all-pro, and the fact that they sat in a room with Garrett Bowles and talked to him a half hour before they drafted him is an indictment unto itself. Stokely's pros and cons are next.
That's how you come into pros and cons. Right there.
What do we got here?
Headbangers Ball music right there. I mean, maybe Metallica might be better than that, but like that's how you come into it.
Sure.
Like, you know, we come busted through it. Boom, let's go.
Let's get it.
Let's go.
You want to do pros or cons?
What do we want first? Do we want the positives? I got a lot of stuff written down from this game. A lot.
Look at that. You must have ran out of ink, man.
Oof, I'm telling you.
Got like a whole ledger page split in half.
I know. I'm taking this serious. What do you want first? Do you want the positives or do you want the negatives?
You want to know what? Let's break it up here. Give me the positives first.
Positives first. Okay. Nice opening drive.
Really nice.
Got Emmanuel Sanders the ball early, and we got ourselves a field goal. Nice opening drive by the Denver Broncos.
It had some rhythm to it.
It did. And you got Emmanuel involved. Like, that's what we needed to do. You know, he felt bad last game. He slipped a lot. Just not the opener that he really wanted it. You went out of your way this week to feature him early, to get him the ball early. At least Flacco did. And he delivered. Nice drive, 10-play, 50-yard drive. Would we like to see the touchdown yet? But got a field goal. Great opening drive against a really good defense. So I thought that was great defense. Gets a 3-and-out on the first drive. Great way to start the football game offensively and defensively. And Simmons had a great play on third down. I don't know if it was that first drive or second drive. I think it was the first drive where Cohen got behind him and he dove and got the ball out, which would have been a huge gainer for the Chicago Bears. So great job by Justin Simmons there on third down, selling out and making a really good football play on that long pass to Cohen down the middle of the football field. 3rd and 15, Lindsey did a great job of picking up the first. Had a 3rd down and 15, swung it out to him, and he did a great job of escaping some tacklers, busting out to the left there and picking up the first down on a probably should have been a 4 or 5 yard gain. So really nice job by Philip Lindsay picking up that first. Flacco's first incompletion. 9:44 left to go in the second.
Wow. It wasn't like 10 for 10 or 9 for 9, I think, something like that.
He was dealing. I mean, he was dealing. No explosive plays, which I think they got to take more chances. And I was hoping, I tweeted going in the second half, it's time to throw the football down the field a little bit more because this offense isn't quite good enough to sustain 10, 12 plays, drives, and score touchdowns. Now, they'll kick field goals. But they're not going to be scoring touchdowns because they're always going to find ways to shoot themselves in the foot. Garoppolo's holding, drop pass. Something, they're going to screw something up along the way. So you got to start taking more chances down the football field.
And I thought we were going to see that because what did we hear from Rich Gangarello on Friday? He said, when they're there, we have to take shots. And I cautioned our listeners right before the season started that, when we talk about Joe Flacco, the tendency is to refer to the big arm and that he's like this downfield guy. The numbers don't say that. The numbers say yards per attempt. Joe Flacco is the least of NFL starting quarterbacks. So I know he's capable of
right.
it, but he,
and
we
it
just,
looks good.
We just don't see it enough.
We don't. Need to see more of that. Derek Wolfe, really nice first half. Really nice first half from Derek Wolfe, and that was good to see. He made some big plays there, doing a really nice job there. So good job by Derek Wolfe. Second half, great start by the defense. Another really, really good start by the defense in the second half. Bears had four plays minus 11 yards. Come out of halftime. How do you come out of halftime? And the defense set the tone there. Really, really nice job by them. You know, backing them up and giving the offense – a chance to have good field position. Nice first drive by the offense, but it stalled just outside of field goal range. It was a nice drive, piggybacking what the defense did, and you had some good things going there, and you just stalled right outside of field goal range. Once again, you know, it's hard for them to sustain drives, and they stalled right outside of field goal range, and I'm sitting there like, okay, let's pin them inside the 10.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. Ball goes in the end zone
right.
on the punt.
Yep.
And those are big plays.
Yep.
Like just the difference there between getting maybe 7 or 8 more yards of being able to kick a field goal to now having to punt. Okay, we'll deliver a good punt. Let's knock them inside the 10, and the ball goes in the end zone. They get the ball at the 20. So that's how close the Broncos are from being, you know, a decent football team to being a bad football team. It's those little things like that that get overlooked sometimes, but you got to deliver in that situation, Wadman, and pin them inside the 10-yard line. That's a huge difference for a defense.
I have always wanted someone like Wadman in that situation to be a little shy with it, if anything. You know, don't try to pin them down at the 2. And
right.
I know that's his objective. Even if you give them to him at the 14, be a little bit shy with it. Back these guys up as opposed to, you know, hitting the reset button and giving it to him on the 20. Go ahead.
Absolutely. After Flacco's interception, before Flacco's interception, Broncos got a field goal. They needed their defense to come on the field and deliver. They did deliver. They got a 3-and-out. Great job by the Broncos defense. Broncos offense goes down, right down the football field, a 16 play drive, 74 yards. It ends in an interception. What do you need? Do you need the Broncos defense to deliver again? And they did. They got the Broncos the ball back after a 5-play drive. Got the ball back for the Broncos offense to give them one final chance to go down there and either tie the football game or take the lead in the football game. So they delivered in crucial situations up until the final drive. We're just looking at the pros here, the pros from
mm-hmm,
the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 12-play drive to take the lead, 2 fourth down conversions, and converted the 2-point conversion to take the lead by the Broncos offense. Really, really nice drive there. I think they had a 4th-and-3 and a 4th-and-10, something like that. A 4th-and-10 and a 4th-and-3, both of them to Cortland Sutton to deliver first downs. When Cortland Sutton, you know, great job by him. He was a non-factor for most of the game, but he ended up making some key plays there in the fourth quarter. And for a young player, especially coming off of a big performance and you're not really highlighted early in a football game, sometimes you can check out.
Sure.
Mentally. Just
sure.
check out. Like,
sure.
Oh, this isn't my game. You know, I'm throwing it to Emmanuel. This stinks. But he stayed in tune and stayed checked in, and he delivered when they needed him the most.
He did, man.
Because it's easy for a young football player. You're human, right? You start thinking about like, oh, gosh, this stinks. It's not much fun. I'm not even a part of this game plan. And you kind of just check out. He didn't do that. He stayed in tune with the football game, and he stayed ready. And guess what? He delivered when they needed him most. And then look, a play that I didn't think they should go for two. I didn't think they should go for two. They went for two, and great job by Emmanuel. Really poor defense by the Bears. You can't let the guy get outside. All your help's inside. Flacco put a ball on the money. Emmanuel delivers again. After what an unbelievable catch in the corner.
Incredible.
That was unbelievable.
Incredible.
So a lot of positives in this game and a lot of negatives also. And I'll give you the negatives next. Now, this is how you come into pros and cons right here. Love it.
Every time I hear this song, I have a mental movie that plays in my head of Mariano Rivera coming out of the bullpen.
Oh, this used to be my get hype music right here. Senior year high school football.
Sure.
Ooh.
You know, I was thinking a little bit earlier in the show. I was thinking, the Broncos are 0-2 for the first time since 1999. And I was trying to remember exactly what was going on in my life in 1999.
Oh, that was my first year in the NFL.
That's right.
What were you doing in 99?
In 1999, I was... you're so stupid. In 1999.
When do these cameras become live up in here? Y'all better make sure to tell me. All right, that's all I'm saying. I don't want to get caught slipping.
In 1999, I was one half of 1999. I was in sixth grade. The other half, I was in seventh grade.
Okay.
Just a little guy. I was wearing a lot of Structure at the time. Remember that brand, Structure?
Yeah, I think
turn
so.
Turn into Express.
Yeah, sure.
It's like wearing sweater vests and trying to get eighth graders to go to walk with me.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
All right.
Here goes the cons. You ready for some cons? We did the pros. I gave all the positives, so don't hit me up on the RamosLaw.com text line. Tell me how negative I am, because this is it. I already did the pros. This is the cons. Second drive by both the offense and the defense. Not good at all. Not good at all. Needs to be better. We saw a 14-play, 7-minute, and 28-second drive by the Bears. Not good enough defense. You can't let that Bears offense have a 14-play, 7-minute, and 28-second drive. Can't have it. They also had a 9-play, 80-yard drive that ended with a touchdown, Zach. Guess what? Guess what?
What?
All runs. No passes. All runs. Cordell Patterson had a nice long run during that drive. So did... the wide receiver,
Cohen?
Oh.
No,
Cohen's a running back.
Well, kind of both. Is it Brock?
Gabriel. Okay. Taylor Gabriel had a 14-yard run also in that drive. Noah Fant solo on Khalil Mack. What? Bad idea.
Oh my gosh.
Bad idea there. I understand. Sometimes you have the tight end on the end man on the line of scrimmage. But if it's Khalil Mack, I don't want my right tackle, who is blocking nobody and's got nobody over him, to go down on the play and help the right guard. Let's say, hey, you know what, Ron Leary, you have to handle that guy by yourself. We're going to give our rookie tight end some help out here, and we're going to double that guy if it's Khalil Mack or Leonard Floyd. Okay? And, yeah, that's not a good idea. You got to avoid those situations at all costs. And the Broncos didn't. They paid for it.
It's putting Fant in just an awful position.
Yeah, it's not nothing on Fant. That's on the coaching staff.
Is that on Rich? I mean,
that's on the coaching staff. You can't have that happen. Now look, if they were all mugged up there, I mean, everybody's on the line of scrimmage. You got all these guys covered.
Yeah.
If your right tackle's covered by a guy and they're bringing a lot of pressure, okay. It is what it is. You got to hold up. You got to do your best. But that wasn't a situation. Nobody was on Elijah Wilkinson. He was out there, and he went down on the play,
right,
and to help out Leary, and nobody was on him. So if you don't have anybody on you, don't help out Leary. Let's go ahead and help out our tight end in this situation.
Right.
So bad job there by the coaching staff and how they scheme that play up. Bowles holding calls. I mean, we've talked about it already. Awful technique, drive killers is what I put in my notes. Here's the next one. Bowles three holding calls. The last one was in the 2-minute drive when the Broncos were trying to run out the clock. Okay. Broncos are trying to run out the clock. Bears have no more timeouts left, or they had one, and they were going to be able to run out the clock. The Broncos were. But when you get a penalty, guess what happens? The clock stops.
Mm.
So now, instead of the Broncos being in the locker room and drinking Gatorade, their defense is out on the field having to fight and keep Chicago from doing a two-minute drive there with 20, 30 seconds left right before the half, which they did. It didn't come back to really cost the Broncos, but it could have. Bad, bad situational football by Garrett Bowles. He stopped the clock because of his holding call, and they had one more timeout. They used it. Now they get the ball back with a chance to score before half. Just can't have those. Those are the little things that cost you football games right there. First punt return in the second half. You're thinking it's going to be great field position. Bears were backed up. Zach? Got it pulled up here. They were backed up.
You said this is the first punt of the second half?
Yes, they were backed up at their 14-yard line. Great job by the Denver Broncos defense. Bears had a four-play, minus 11-yard drive, okay? Had them backed up at the 14-yard line. P. O'Donnell, P-Man O'Donnell, hit himself a 61-yarder. And then guess what happened on top of that? We get a holding call. So I'm sitting there thinking, okay, we're going to have great field position here. And this guy hits a great punt, hat off to him, right? Okay, good punt. But on top of catching the ball at the 25 with a fair catch, or getting tackled, not a fair catch, he got tackled for no gain at the 25. We had a holding call. So now we are starting at the 15-yard line. You just can't have those things happen. You've got to have good field position in that situation. If he gets a 61-yarder, you got to block it up, and you got to get 10 or 15 yards on the return. So now you're looking at the ball around the 40-yard line. But no, we're backed up at the 15 because not only did we not return the ball at all, but we also, on top of it, got a holding call, so we're backed up to the 15-yard line.
I think that was our game day captain, Trey Marshall, I want to say.
That'd be the last time that that happens. No more game day captain for Trey Marshall.
Yes, it is possible.
Thank you, Coach. Third and goal, holding call on Chris Harris Jr. First down Bears. They score a touchdown a few plays later. Just, and he held the guy. They replayed it. You saw him grab it, Garrett Bowles style, outside the pad, jerked him down. And it's a shame because they would have had to probably kick a field goal there. I don't think they would have gone for the touchdown at the 2 or 3 yard line on fourth down. It was third down. Can't have those, holding calls. Kept the drive alive and they scored a touchdown, a couple plays later. Killer interception by Flacco. I want to get into that a little bit later.
Gosh.
I want to get into that because I got the play broken down.
Okay.
It was a killer interception, but I give Joe Flacco, no blame on Flacco from me on that one. And I'll explain it.
Do you know what it reminded me of? And I'm not talking about the blame and where.
Right.
Who's responsible of, or responsible for it. It reminded me of a drive from last year, where Case Keenum would lead the Broncos down to the red zone, and so many turnovers in the red zone for the Broncos a year ago. I'm not looking at the stats. The Broncos must have led the league in turnovers in the red zone a year ago. When you're right down there on the doorstep, it just can't happen. It just can't happen. I'm anxious to hear your breakdown of it.
Way too many holding calls. You know, not only Garrett Bowles, Ron Leary's getting some. Our defense had a few. Just way too many, way too many. Some of them are good calls, some of them are bad calls, but you just can't have them happen. They are drive killers. This offense isn't good enough to overcome these types of penalties. They're just not. We gotta get it fixed. Gotta get it fixed. So way too many holding calls. We burned our last time out, Zach, with 2:25 left to go. I don't know if you noticed that. 2:25 left to go in a tight football game. We burned our last time out of the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And guess what? On a stoppage. So the play was incomplete pass.
Oh, my goodness.
And it was
I didn't realize it was going to be
third down, I want to say. Not exactly sure. I can't pull it up right here. But it was on our last drive of the game. It was after a third down, incomplete pass to Sanders, right? Incomplete pass to Sanders. It was about to be fourth down, and we burned our last timeout. No, you got to save that timeout because guess what? If you don't make it there, now you still have a chance because you have your timeout and you have the 2 minute warning. Okay. So that's a very valuable timeout there. So you'll still have the possibility of getting the ball back with a minute, 10 minute, 15 left to go in the game with a chance to tie it. But by using that timeout, if you don't get it, Now the game's practically over. You get the ball back, you're going to have 25 seconds left or so, something like that, and having to score a touchdown with no timeout. So burning that timeout in that situation, I thought was a bad job by the coaching staff. Again, that's on Rich and the staff to have a play ready to go on fourth down and 10 and just get it out there, and we know we're going for it. Let's go. You can't burn a timeout in that situation, not being down like that. Just can't have it happen. And then ultimately, the end of the game, man, defense doesn't deliver. When the Broncos needed them the most on the last drive, they didn't deliver. And that's end of story, really. I put this game on the defense to show up. That was my key to this game. This defense has to play special. They have to play great. And they had their moments. And then you had the lead. And what happens when you have the lead late in the football game? What is it called?
The formula.
The formula. Now the formula. We can finally see the formula under Vic Fangio. We can finally see the Vic Fangio formula. Von Miller, Bradley Chubb. Guess what? They're not running the football. We don't have to worry about the run. We can pin our ears back and go get Mitchell Trubisky. Wah, wah, wah. We didn't get him at all. So when it mattered the most, and everything was on the line, everything at stake here, the Broncos defense, our best unit, the unit that needs to carry this football team, they didn't deliver.
Unreal. You go through the bullet points within that 60-minute football game here in our pros and cons segment through the cons. If you missed the pros, hit it up on the podcast. But, I mean, you go through it, and it's hard to win football games like that. I mean, with everything that you just pointed out, that from small things like allowing a touchback instead of pinning inside the 20, calling a timeout after a dead ball, stuff like that.
And just because it's fourth down doesn't mean you need to call a timeout. You got your play sheet. You got your plays you want to run. Just like Vic said, you know, hey, they asked Vic, the media did today, were you involved in the play call for the 2-point play? He's like, no, we have our list of plays that you work on in practice, and they have a list of the 2 or 3 2-point plays that they will run if that opportunity comes in a football game. Okay, same thing here. You have your fourth down plays. Let's go. Okay, we're going for it. All right, boom, here's the play. Let's go. We can't burn a timeout in that situation. But a lot of positives and a lot of negatives. They got to get better, though, if they want to start winning these close football games.
Nick Ferguson has been in a roundabout way, defending Garrett Bowles as of late, and say that we need to focus more on the positives. I want to hear exactly what what Nick has to say. But first, what's up with that Denver snapshot?
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.